Lord's Day, January 6th, was still distraught with vapory disorders. Preached to my poor Indians that had little heart or life. Towards night, my soul was pressed under a sense of my unfaithfulness. Oh, the joy and peace that arises from a sense of, quote, having obtained mercy of God to be faithful, unquote. And all the misery and anxious that spring from an apprehension of the contrary. His dejection continued the two next days, but not to so great a degree on Tuesday, when he enjoyed some freedom and fervency in preaching to the Indians. Quote, January 9th, 1745. In the morning, God was pleased to remove that gloom, which has of late oppressed my mind and gave me freedom and sweetness in prayer. I was encouraged, strengthened, and enabled to plead for grace for myself and mercy for my poor Indians, and was sweetly assisted in my intercessions with God for others. Blessed be his holy name forever and ever. Amen and amen. Those things that of late appeared most difficult and almost impossible now appeared not only possible but easy. My soul was much delighted to continue instant in prayer at this blessed season, that I had no desire for my necessity food, even dreaded leaving off praying at all, lest I should lose this spirituality and this blessed thankfulness to God, which I then felt. I felt now quite willing to live and undergo all trials that might remain for me in a world of sorrow, but still longed for heaven that I might glorify God in a perfect manner. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Spent the day in reading a little and in some diversions, which I was necessitated to take by reason of much weakness and disorder. In the evening, enjoyed some freedom and intenseness in prayer, unquote. The three remaining days of the week, he was very low and feeble in body, but nevertheless continued constantly in the same comfortable, sweet frame of mind, as is expressed on Wednesday. On the Sabbath, this sweetness in spiritual lucidity began to abate, but still he enjoyed some degree of comfort and had assistance in preaching to the Indians. Quote, January 14, 1745, spent this day under a great degree of bodily weakness and disorder, had very little freedom, either in my studies or devotions, and in the evening I was much dejected and melancholy. It pains and distresses me that I live so much of my time for nothing. I long to do much in a little time, and if it might be the Lord's will to finish my work speedily in this tiresome world, I am sure I do not desire to live for anything in this world, and through grace I am not afraid to look the King of Terrors in the face. I know that I shall be afraid if God leaves me, and therefore I think it always my duty to provide for that solemn hour. But for a very considerable time past, my soul has rejoiced to think of death in its nearest approaches, and even when I have been very weak and seemed nearest eternity. Quote, not unto me, not unto me, but to God be the glory, unquote. I feel that which convinces me that if God do not enable me to maintain a holy dependency upon him, death will easily be a terror to me. But at present I must say, quote, I long to depart and to be with Christ, unquote, which is the best of all. When I am in a sweet, resigned frame of soul, I am willing to tarry a while in a world of sorrow. I am willing to be from home as long as God sees fit it should be so. But when I want the influence of this temper, I am then apt to be impatient to be gone. Oh, when will the day appear that I shall be perfect in holiness and the enjoyment of God, unquote. The next day was spent under a great degree of dejection and melancholy, which he himself was persuaded was owing partly to body weakness and vapory disorders. Quote, January 16 and 17, I spent most of the time in writing on a sweet divine subject, and enjoyed some freedom and assistance, was likewise enabled to pray more frequently and fervently than usual. And my soul, I think, rejoiced in God, especially on the evening of the last of these days. Praise then seemed comely, and I delighted to bless the Lord. Oh, what reason have I to be thankful that God ever helps me to labor and study for him? He does not receive his own when I am enabled in any measure to praise him, labor for him, and live to him. Oh, how comfortable and sweet it is to feel the assistance of divine grace in the performance of the duties which God has enjoined on us. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Unquote. The same enlargement of heart and joyful frame of soul continued through the next day. But on the day following, it began to decline, which decay seems to have continued the whole of the next week. Yet he enjoyed some seasons of special and sweet assistance. Quote, Lord's Day, January 27th, had the greatest degree of inward anguish which I almost ever endured. I was perfectly overwhelmed and so confused that after I began to discourse to the Indians, before I could finish a sentence, sometimes I forgot entirely what I was aiming at, or if, with much difficulty, I had recollected what I had before designed, still it appeared strange and like something I had long forgotten, and had now but an imperfect remembrance of. I know it was a degree of distraction, occasioned by vapory disorders, melancholy, spiritual desertion, and some other things that particularly pressed upon me this morning, with an uncommon weight, the principal of which respected my Indians. This distressing gloom never went off the whole day, but was so far removed that I was enabled to speak with some freedom and concern to the Indians at two of their settlements. And I think there was some appearance of the presence of God with us, some seriousness and seeming concern among the Indians, at least a few of them. In the evening, this gloom continued still till family prayer. Footnote. Though Brennard now dwelt by himself in the aforementioned little cottage, which he had built for his own use, yet that was near to a family of white people with whom he had lived before, and with whom he still attended family prayer. End of the footnote. About 9 o'clock, and almost through this, until I came near the close, when I was praying, as I usually do, for the illumination and conversion of my poor people, and then the cloud was scattered so that I enjoyed sweetness and freedom and conceived hopes that God designed mercy for some of them, and the same I enjoyed afterwards in secret prayer, in which precious duty I had in considerable time sweetness and freedom, and I hope faith in praying for myself, my poor Indians, and dear friends and acquaintances in New England and elsewhere, and for the dear interests of Zion in general. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Unquote. He spent the rest of this week, or at least the most of it, under the dejection and melancholy, which on Friday rose to an extreme height, he being then, as he himself observes, much exercised with vapory disorders. This exceeding gloominess continued on Saturday, till the evening, when he was again relieved in family prayer, and after it was refreshed in secret, and felt willing to live and endure hardships in the cause of God, and found his hopes of the advancement of Christ's kingdom, as also his hopes to see the power of God among the poor Indians, considerably raised. Quote, Lord's Day, February 3rd. In the morning I was somewhat relieved of that gloom and confusion with which my mind has of late been greatly exercised, and was unable to pray with some composure and comfort. Still, I went to my Indians trembling, for my soul, quote, remembered the wormwood and the gall, unquote, of Friday last. I was greatly afraid that I should be obliged again to drink of that cup of trembling, which was inconceivably more bitter than death, and made me long for the grave more, unspeakably more, than for hid treasures, yea, inconceivably more than the men of this world long for such treasures. But God was pleased to hear my cries, and to afford me some great assistance, so that I felt peace in my own soul, and was satisfied that if not one of the Indians should be profited by my preaching, but should be all damned, yet I should be accepted and rewarded as faithful, for I am persuaded God enabled me to be so. Had some great degree of help afterwards at another place, and much longed for the conversion of the poor Indians. Was somewhat refreshed and comfortable towards night and in the evening. Oh, that my soul might praise the Lord for his goodness. Enjoyed some freedom in the evening in the meditations on Luke, chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, etc. Unquote. In the three next days, he was the subject of much dejection, but the three remaining days of the week seemed to have been spent with much composure and comfort. On the next Sabbath, he preached at Greenwich in New Jersey. In the evening, he rode 8 miles to visit a sick man at the point of death and found him speechless and senseless. February the 11th. Quote, about break of day, the sick man died. I was affected at the sight, spent the morning with the mourners, and after prayer and some discourse with them, returned to Greenwich and preached again from Psalms 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know, etc. The Lord gave me assistance. I felt a sweet love to souls and to the kingdom of Christ, and longed that poor sinners might know the joyful sound. Several persons were much affected. After meeting, I was unable to discourse with freedom and concern to some persons who applied to me under spiritual trouble, left the place sweetly composed, and rode home to my house about 8 miles distance, discoursed to friends and inculcated divine truths among them. In the evening was in the most solemn frame which I almost ever remember to have experienced. I know not that ever death appeared more real to me, or that ever I saw myself in the condition of a dead corpse laid out and dressed for a longing in the silent grave so evidently as at this time. And yet I felt exceedingly tranquil. My mind was composed and calm, and death appeared without a sting. I think I never felt such a universal mortification to all created objects as now. Oh, how great and solemn a thing it appeared to die. Oh, how it lays the greatest honors in the dust. And oh, how vain and trifling did the riches, honors, and pleasures of the world appear. I could not, I dare not, so much as think of any of them, for death, death, solemn, though not frightful, death appeared at the door. Oh, I could see myself dead and laid out and enclosed in my coffin and put down into the cold grave with the greatest solemnity, but without terror. I spent most of the evening in conversing with a dear Christian friend, and blessed be God, it was a comfortable evening to us both. What our friends, what our comforts, what our sorrows, what our distresses. The time is short. It remains that they which weep be as though they wept not, and they which rejoice as though they rejoiced not. For the fashion of this world passes away. O come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Blessed be God for the comforts of the past day. February 12th was exceeding weak, but in sweet, resigned, composed frame most of the day. Felt my heart freely go forth after God in prayer. February 13th was much exercised with vapory disorders, but still unable to maintain solemnity and, I think, spirituality. February 14th, spent the day in writing on a divine subject, enjoyed health and freedom in my work, and had a solemn sense of death, as I have indeed had every day this week in some measure. What I felt on Monday last has been abiding in some considerable degree ever since. February 15th, was engaged in writing almost the entire day. In the evening, which most assisted in meditating on the precious text, John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, etc. I had then a sweet sense of the free grace of the gospel. My soul was encouraged, warmed, and quickened. My desires were drawn out after God in prayer, and my soul was watchful, afraid of losing so sweet a guest as I then entertained. I continued long in prayer and meditation, intermixing one with the other, and was unwilling to be diverted by anything at all from so sweet an exercise. I longed to proclaim the grace I then meditated upon to the world of sinners. Oh, how quick and powerful is the word of the blessed God, unquote. The next day, he complains of great complex with corruption and much discomposure of mind. Quote, Lord's Day, February 17th, preached to the white people, my interpreter being absent in the wilderness upon the sunny side of a hill, had a considerable assembly, consisting of people who lived, at least many of them, not less than 30 miles asunder. Some of them came near 20 miles. I discoursed to them all day from John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, etc. In the afternoon it pleased God to grant me great freedom and fervency in my discourse, and I was enabled to imitate the example of Christ in the text, who stood and cried. I think I was scarce ever enabled to offer the free grace of God to perishing sinners with more freedom and plainness of my life. in my life. Afterwards, I was enabled earnestly to invite the children of God to come renewedly and drink of this fountain of the water of life, from which they have hitherto derived unspeakable satisfaction. It was a very comfortable time to me. There were many tears in the assembly, and I doubt not but that the Spirit of God was there, convincing poor sinners of their need of Christ. In the evening I felt composed and comfortable, though much tired. I had some sweet sense of the excellency and glory of God. My soul rejoiced that He was, quote, God over all, blessed forever, unquote, but was too much crowded with company and conversation, and longed to be more alone with God. Oh, that I could forever bless God for the mercy of this day, who answered me in the joy of my heart, unquote. The remainder of this week seems to have been spent under a decay of this life and joy, and in distressing conflicts with corruption, but not without some season of refreshment and comfort. Lord's Day, February 24th, quote, in the morning was much perplexed, my interpreter being absent. I knew not how to perform my work among the Indians. However, I wrote to them, got a Dutchman to interpretate for me, though he was but poorly qualified for the business. Afterwards, I came and preached to a few white people from John chapter 7, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, etc. Here the Lord seemed to unburden me in some measure, especially towards the close of my discourse. I felt freedom to open the love of Christ to His own dear disciples when the rest of the world forsakes Him and are forsaken by Him, that He calls them no more. He then turns to His own and says, will ye also go away? I had a sense of the free grace of Christ to His own people in such seasons of general apostasy, and when they themselves in some measure backslid with the world. Oh, the free grace of Christ that He seasonably reminds His people of their danger of backsliding and invites them to persevere in their adherence to Himself. I saw that backsliding souls who seemed to be about to go away with the world might return in welcome to Him immediately, without anything to recommend them, notwithstanding all their former backslidings. Thus my discourse was suited to my own soul's case, for of late I have found a great want of this sense and apprehension of divine grace, and have often been greatly distressed in my own soul, because I did not suitably apprehend this, quote, fountain to purge away sin, unquote, and have been too much laboring for spiritual life, peace of conscience, and progressive holiness in my own strength. Now God showed me in some manner the arm of all strength and the fountain of all grace. In the evening I felt solemn, devout, and sweet, resting on free grace for assistance, acceptance, and peace of conscience, unquote. Within the space of the next 9 days, he had frequent refreshings, invigorating influences of God's Spirit, attended with complaints of dullness and with longings after spiritual life and holy fervency. Quote, March 6th, spent most of the day in preparing for a journey to New England. Spent some time in prayer with a special reference to my intended journey. Was afraid I should forsake the fountain of living water and attempt to derive satisfaction from broken sinsters, my dear friends and acquaintances, with whom I might meet in my journey. I looked to God to keep me from this vanity as well as others. Towards night and in the evening was visited by some friends, some of whom I trust were real Christians, who discovered an affectionate regard to me, and seemed grieved that I was about to leave them, especially as I did not expect to make any considerable stay among them if I should live to return from New England. Footnote. It seemed he had a design, by what afterwards appears, to remove and live among the Indians at the Susquehanna River. End of the footnote. Oh, how kind has God been to me! How has He raised up friends in every place where His providence has called me! Friends are a great comfort, and it is God who gives them. It is He who makes them friendly to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits. Unquote. The next day, he set out on his journey, and it was about 5 weeks before he returned. The special design of this journey he himself declares afterwards in his diary on March 21st, where, speaking of his conversing with a certain minister in New England. He says, quote, contrived with him how to raise some money among Christian friends in order to support a colleague with me in the wilderness. I, having now spent 2 years in a very solitary manner, that we might be together, as Christ sent out his disciples two and two. And as this was the principal concern I had in view in taking this journey, so I took pains in it and hope God will succeed it, if for his glory, unquote. He first went into various parts of New Jersey and visited several ministers there, then went to New York, and from thence into New England, going to various parts of Connecticut. He then returned to New Jersey and met a number of ministers at Woodbridge, who, he says, quote, met there to consult about the affairs of Christ's kingdom in some important articles, unquote. He seems for the most part to have been free from melancholy in this journey, and many times to have had extraordinary assistance in public ministration, and his preaching sometimes attended with very hopeful appearances of a good effect on the auditory. He also had many seasons of special comforts and spiritual refreshments in conversations with ministers and other Christian friends, and also meditation and prayer when alone. April 13th, quote, we're at home to my own house at the Forts of Delaware, wasn't able to remember the goodness of the Lord, who has now preserved me while riding full 600 miles of this journey, has kept me that none of my bones have been broken. Blessed be the Lord who has preserved me in this tedious journey and returned me in safety to my own house. Verily, it is God who has upheld me and guarded my goings. Lord's Day, April 14th, was disordered in body with the fatigues of the late journey, but was enabled, however, to preach to a considerable assembly of white people gathered from all parts round about, with some freedom from Ezekiel 33, verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord God, etc., had much more assistance than I expected, unquote. This week, he went a journey to Philadelphia in order to engage the governor to use his interest with the chief of the Six Nations, with whom he maintained a strict friendship, that he would give him leave to live at Susquehanna and instruct the Indians who are within their territories. Footnote. The Indians at Susquehanna are a mixed company of many nations, speaking various languages, and few of them properly of the Six Nations. But yet, the country having formerly been conquered by the Six Nations, they claim the land, and the Susquehanna's Indians are a kind of vassals to them. End of the footnote. In his way to and from thence, he lodged with Mr. Beatty, a young Presbyterian minister. He speaks of seasons of sweet spiritual refreshment, which he enjoyed at his lodgings. April 20th, quote, wrote with Mr. Beatty to Abington to attend Mr. Treat's administration of the sacraments, according to the method of the Church of Scotland. When we arrived, we found Mr. Treat preaching. Afterwards, I preached a sermon from Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. God was pleased to give me great freedom and tenderness, both in prayer and sermon. The assembly was sweetly melted, and scores were all in tears. It was as I then hoped, and was afterwards abundantly satisfied by conversing with them, a, quote, word spoken in season to many weary souls, unquote. I was extremely tired, and my spirits much exhausted, so that I could scarcely speak loud. Yet I could not help rejoicing in God. Lord's Day, April 21st, in the morning was calm and composed, and had some thirstings of soul after God in secret duties, and longing desires of his presence in the sanctuary and at his table, that his presence might be in the assembly, and that his children might be entertained with a feast of fat things. In the forenoon, Mr. Treat preached. I felt some affection and tenderness during the administration of the ordinances. Mr. Beatty preached to the multitude abroad, who could not have crowded into the meeting house. In the season of the communion, I had comfortable and sweet apprehensions of the blissful communion of God's people, when they shall meet at their Father's table in the kingdom, in the state of perfection. In the afternoon I preached abroad to the whole assembly from Revelations chapter 14, verse 4. These are they that follow the Lamb, etc. God was pleased again to give me very great freedom and clearness. but not so much warmth as before. However, there was a most amazing attention in the whole assembly, and, as I was informed afterwards, this was a sweet season to many. April 22nd, I enjoyed some sweetness and retirement in the morning. At 11 o'clock, Mr. Beattie preached with freedom and life. Then I preached from John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, etc., and concluded the solemnity. Had some freedom, but not equal to what I enjoyed before. Yet in prayer, the Lord enabled me to cry. I hope with a childlike temper, with tenderness and brokenness of heart, came home with Mr. Beattie to his lodgings and spent the time while writing and afterwards very agreeably on divine things. April 23rd, left Mr. Beattie's and returned home to the Forks of Delaware. Enjoyed some sweet meditations on the road and was unable to lift up my heart to God in prayer and praise, unquote. The two next days he speaks of much bodily disorder, but of some degrees of spiritual assistance and freedom. Quote, April 26th, conversed with a Christian friend with some warmth and felt a spirit of mortification to the world in a very great degree. Afterwards was unable to pray feverently and to rely on God sweetly for, quote, all things pertaining to life and godliness, unquote. Just in the evening was visited by a dear Christian friend with whom I spent an hour or two in conversation on the very soul of religion. There are many with whom I can talk about religion, but alas, I find few with whom I can talk religion itself. But blessed be the Lord, there are some that love to feed on the kernel rather than the shell, unquote. The next day, he went to the Irish settlement, often before mentioned, about 15 miles distance, where he spent the Sabbath and preached with some considerable assistance. On Monday, he returned in a very weak state to his own lodgings. Quote, April 30th, was scarcely able to walk about, and was obliged to betake myself to bed much of the day, and passed away the time in a very solitary manner, being neither able to read, meditate, nor pray, and had none to converse with in that wilderness. Oh, how heavily does time pass away, when I can do nothing to any good, but seem obliged to trifle away precious time. But of late I have seen it my duty to divert myself by all lawful means, that I may be fit, at least in some small part of my time, to labor for God. And here is the difference between my present diversions and those I once pursued when in the natural state. Then I made a God of diversions, delighted in them with a neglect of God, and drew my highest satisfaction from them. Now I use them as means to help me in living to God, fixedly delighting in Him and not in them, drawing my highest satisfaction from Him. Then they were all my all. Now they are only means leading to my all. And those things that are the greatest diversions, when pursued with this view, do not tend to hinder but promote my spirituality. And I see now, more than ever, that they are absolutely necessary. May 1st. Was not able to set up more than half the day, and yet I had such recruits of strength sometimes that I was able to write a little on a divine subject. Was grieved that I could no more live to God. In the evening, had some sweetness and intenseness in secret prayer. May 2nd. In the evening, being a little better in health, I walked into the woods and enjoyed a sweet season of meditation and prayer. My thoughts ran upon Psalms 17, verse 15. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And it was indeed a precious text to me. I longed to preach to the whole world, and it seemed to me they must needs all be melted in hearing such precious divine truths as I then had a view and relish of. My thoughts were exceeding clear, and my soul was refreshed. Blessed be the Lord that in my late and present weakness, now for many days together, my mind is not gloomy as at some other times. May 3rd. Felt a little vigor of body and mind in the morning, and had some freedom, strength, and sweetness in prayer. Wrote to and spent some time with my Indians. In the evening, again retired into the woods, I enjoyed some sweet meditation on Isaiah 53, verse 1. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, etc. Unquote. The three next days were spent in much weakness of body, but yet he enjoyed some assistance in public and private duties, and seems to have remained free from melancholy. Quote, May 7th, spent the day mainly in making preparation for our journey into the wilderness. Was still weak and considered how I should perform so difficult a journey. Spent some time in prayer for the divine blessing, direction, and protection in my intended journey, but wanted bodily strength to spend the day in fasting and prayer. Unquote. The next day, he set out on his journey to the Sukihana with his interpreter. He endured great hardships and fatigues in his way thither through a hideous wilderness, where after having lodged one night in the open woods, he was overtaken with a northeasterly storm, in which he was almost ready to perish. Having no manner of shelter and not being able to make a fire in so great a rain, he could have no comfort if he stopped. Therefore, he determined to go forward in hopes of meeting with some shelter, without which he thought it impossible to live the night through. But their horses, happening to eat poison for the want of other food, at a place where they lodged the night before, were so sick that they could neither ride nor lead them, but were obliged to drive them and travel on foot, until through the mercy of God, just at dusk, they came to a bark hut where they lodged that night. After he came to Sukihana, he traveled about 100 miles on the river and visited many towns and settlements of the Indians, saw some of 7 or 8 tribes, and preached to different nations by different interpreters. He was sometimes much discouraged and sunk in his spirits through the opposition which appeared in the Indians to Christianity. At other times he was encouraged by the disposition which some of these people manifested to hear and willingly to be instructed. He here met with some who had formerly been his hearers at Kinayumik and had removed hither, who saw and heard him again with great joy. He spent a fortnight among the Indians on this river and passed through considerable labors and hardships, frequently lodging on the ground and sometimes in the open air. At length he felt extremely ill, as he was riding in the wilderness, being seized with an ague, followed with a burning fever and extreme pains in his head and bowels, attended with a great evacuation of blood, so that he thought he must have perished in the wilderness. But at last, coming to an Indian trader's hut, he got leave to stay there, and though without physic or food proper for him, it pleased God, after about a week's distress, to relieve him so far that he was able to ride. He returned homewards from Jungkata, an island far down the river, where was a considerable number of Indians who appeared more free from prejudice against Christianity than most of the other Indians. He arrived at Fort of Delaware on Thursday, May 30th, after having rode in his journey about 340 miles. He came home in a very weak state and under dejection of mind, which was a great hindrance to him in religious exercises. However, on the Sabbath, after having preached to the Indians, he preached to the white people with some success from Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, etc., some being awakened by his preaching. The next day he was much exercised for want of spiritual life and fervency. June 4th, quote, towards evening was a distress for God's presence and the sons of divine things. Withdrew myself to the woods and spent near an hour in prayer and meditation, and I think the Lord had compassion on me and gave me some sense of divine things, which was indeed refreshing and quickening to me. My soul enjoyed intenseness and freedom in prayer, so that it grieved me to leave the place. June 5th, felt thirsting desires after God in the morning. In the evening, enjoyed a precious season of retirement, was favored with some clear and sweet meditations upon a sacred text. Divine things opened with clearness and certainty and had a divine stamp upon them. My soul was also enlarged and refreshed in prayer. I delighted to continue in the duty and was sweetly assisted in praying for my fellow Christians and my dear brethren in the ministry. Blessed be the dear Lord for such enjoyments. Oh, how sweet and precious it is to have a clear apprehension and tender sense of the mystery of godliness, of true holiness, and of likeness to the best of beings. Oh, what a blessedness it is to be as much like God as it is possible for a creature, to be like his great Creator. Lord, give me more of thy likeness. Quote, I shall be satisfied when I awake with it, unquote. June 6th, was engaged a considerable part of the day in meditation and studying divine subjects. Enjoyed some special freedom, clearness, and sweetness in meditation. Oh, how refreshing it is to be enabled to improve time well, unquote. The next day, he went a journey of near 50 miles to Neshaminy, N-E-S-H-A-M-I-N-Y, to assist in a sacramental occasion to be attended at Mr. Beatty's meeting house, being invited thither by him and his people. Quote, June 8th, was exceeding weak and fatigued with riding in the heat yesterday, but being desired, I preached in the afternoon to a crowded audience from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, quote, comfort ye my people, saith your God, unquote. God was pleased to give me great freedom in opening the sorrows of God's people and in setting before them comforting considerations. And blessed be the Lord. It was a sweet melting season in the assembly. Lord's Day, June 9th, felt some longing desires of the presence of God to be with his people on the solemn occasion of the day. In the forenoon, Mr. Beatty preached, and there appeared some warmth in the assembly. Afterwards, I assisted in the administration of the Lord's Supper, and towards the close of it, I discoursed to the multitude extempore with some reference to the sacred passage, Isaiah 53, verse 10, quote, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, unquote. Here God gave me great assistance in addressing sinners, and the word was attended with amazing power. Many scores, if not hundreds, in that great assembly, consisting of 3,000 or 4,000, were much affected, so that there was a, quote, great, very great mourning, like the mourning of Hadarodrimmon, unquote. In the evening, I could hardly look at anybody in the face because of the imperfections I saw in my performances in the day past. June 10th, preached with a good degree of clearness and some sweet warmth from Psalms 17, verse 15. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And blessed be God, there was a great solemnity and attention in the assembly, and sweet refreshment among God's people, as was evident then and afterwards. June the 11th, spent the day mainly in conversation with dear Christian friends and enjoyed some sweet sense of divine things. Oh, how desirable it is to keep company with God's dear children. These are the excellent ones of the earth in whom, I can truly say, is all my delight. Oh, what delight will it afford to meet them all in a state of perfection. Lord, prepare me for that state. Unquote. The next day, he left Mr. Beatty and went to Maidenhead in New Jersey and spent the next 7 days in a comfortable state of mind visiting several ministers in those parts. Quote, June 18th, set out from New Brunswick with the design to visit some Indians at a place called Crosswicksung in New Jersey towards the sea. Footnote. Brennan having went at Boston, written and left with a friend, a brief relation of facts touching his labors with the Indians and reception among them during the space of time between November 5, 1744 and June 19, 1745, with a view to connect his narrative addressed to Mr. Pemberton and his journal in case they should ever be reprinted, concludes the same with this passage, quote, as my body was very feeble, so my mind was scarce ever so much damped and discouraged about the conversion of the Indians as at this time. And in the state of body and mind I made my first visit to the Indians in New Jersey, where God was pleased to display his power and grace in the remarkable manner which I have represented in my printed journal. Unquote. End of the footnote. In the afternoon came to a place called Cranberry, and meeting with a serious minister, Mr. MacKnight, I lodged there with him, had some enlargements, and freedom in prayer with a number of people. End of chapter 6 of the Memoirs of Reverend David Brennan, read by Peter John Parisi, also known as Brian Dean. More free audios can be found on www.intheschoolofprayer.com and also on www.archive.org under the School of Prayer.